Everyone, welcome to Ending the Drought, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast. This is Season 4, Episode 9. I'm Jason Webster, here with your other hosts, Jeff Webster and Jake Cranston.
Gentlemen,
how be ya?
Bang, boom.
Binga, banga, boom.
What's going on? Yeah. Dude, I'm getting excited for some football, guys. I don't know
first
about your
preseason games, days away. Just days away.
I'm not really excited for preseason, so to speak.
I know.
Because preseason's like, meh. But the thought of the progression of, you know, preseason one game and then, you know, two, three, blah, blah, blah. And then,
yep.
I mean, we're, 32 days away from the season opener?
Yep.
Right?
I think that's
something
what it
in
is.
That.
Because it's the 11th. We play. Today's the 8th. So, yeah. Yeah. 33 days, whatever it is, or 20, 30,
yeah.
Whatever. But yeah, it's right around the corner, man.
I know.
And
not
long now.
I do like the preseason for like getting an opportunity to see Dalton Kincaid in a real game setting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Or Osiris Torrance or any of the rooks or some of the new pieces to actually see these guys be physical. You know,
right.
When you're playing your teammates, you can only be so physical. As it is, players get injured often enough, but when you are playing another team, even in a preseason game, it's as close to a real game as you're going to get other than a real game. So
the thing that bothers me about it a little bit is it's like, if you're going to spend most of the preseason sitting your good guys, then why bother kind of doing it at all?
Right.
Is it like just a gift to the bench warmers to kind of like get a chance to play? Like, I don't know. It's
an evaluation thing for the coaches to be able to look at the backups and the third string and guys that are going to be on the practice squad just to see if you can, you know, and it's hard because it is preseason, but they got to have some way to evaluate talent and players. And
yep.
So it's the best they got right now. And there's value there, but it's not like anything watching real games. It's just not the same.
The preseason's, it's like so daunting because you have 96 guys or whatever it is on a roster.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I mean, you got to cut 40-something guys on your roster. Sometimes you look at it, you know, to get down to 53, and it's just like, I mean, is it really worth all this time and all these extra guys?
Right.
Because, I mean, you it really comes down to, what, maybe a handful of guys that are on the –
on the bubble.
On the bubble, right?
We did talk about this before. Like, already before the first preseason game, they got to have a pretty good idea where the 70 are, right? Like,
you have to.
Or the 75.
Well, like, yeah. I mean, you think about it. Like, if you think of it in a mathematical way, if you're trying to figure out what people work well together, what people are maybe good at a different position, you didn't think about all those things. Like, you know, the more people you have available, the harder that becomes.
True.
Maybe it would be an interesting experiment to try cutting the players earlier, get down to that, you know, that last few that you're thinking about and just focus on them a lot harder.
Oddly enough, they went the other way.
Yeah.
The league has now left it wide open. Like,
yeah.
I can't remember. It was like the end of August. You got to go from 90 to 53 or something like that. Like right at the end of the after the preseason
games. It's like
games.
The 26 or something
like that. Yeah, there used to be stages, you know. You had to go from 90 to 80 to 70, whatever it was, at different periods. But now it's just like one cut. You can cut everybody at the same time. Most teams don't. I'm sure the Bills will probably make a few cuts, maybe some injuries after the preseason game. And I guess that's the other value is maybe
if you were to have somebody injured, you have.
Yeah, if you've got two guys that are, you know, neck and neck for the third and fourth string and you get an injury to a first or second string player, now you got to decide which one of those guys is moving to number two. And, you know, I could see that being a thing, but
it almost seems
like you could just re-sign a guy if you cut him, right?
Like, yeah,
you think you could.
Yeah.
Just so many guys you got to bring in. Like, you know, they're at the end of the season, you know, you got your normal 53. Then you have, you know, your guys in the practice squad. So you got a pretty good idea of what kind of guys you're going to kind of want to bring back for next year that helped out in the practice squad portion of stuff. You already kind of know your 53 in a way, depending on free agency, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, you're talking an extra, you know, 30-something guys that you're just pulling in
to
camp,
man. It's weird because you got practice teams, you got reserve futures contracts that guys are involved in.
Right.
It's like
so
you
many
said,
guys, man. You know,
they
it's
signed
crazy.
The tight end from Sternberger.
Yeah.
Right? Like, who's probably way back in that tight end area.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, his chances of making the squad are super slim.
Yeah. I mean, I get it.
Still brought him in.
As an evaluation standpoint, like you said, you're trying to, I guess, look at guys that could be that diamond in the rough, so to speak, that's sure. like, holy cow, you know, look at this guy's skill set that we didn't realize he had. He would be a great fit on this roster, but it's you have to bring in like 30 something extra guys just to evaluate and possibly right. hope to find one. I mean, how many XFL guys did they pull in? Like 5, 6, 7 of them?
Yep.
You know what I mean? So it's pretty crazy.
And limiting the, you know, the cuts until the very end is awesome. But I don't know if that necessarily means as an owner, you have to like get stuck in that mode. Just because they give you the option of waiting till then doesn't mean you couldn't choose to cut your roster down earlier.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. And like I said, they probably will. Because I think, again, some guys will get injured or maybe they'll just go, there's just no chance this player's going to have a shot at our roster. Give them a chance to maybe sign with somebody else.
Right.
You know, I think the Bills are that type of team where they would look at that. I'm sure there's teams that probably don't give two rips about that.
Yeah.
I think the Bills literally give enough of a shit, just go, hey, why not give this guy a shot with somebody else? Our roster's too deep at that position, but there's thinner spots, you know, on other teams where he might be able to latch on and actually make a final 53. You never know.
You never know, dude. But I would,
yeah.
I would like to bring up one thing on the red and blue practice. Josh Allen comes out in that metallic blue helmet, dude. Man.
I was inspired.
I wasn't sure what to expect because I know last year he came out in that red.
Yep.
That red helmet.
Right.
And I was thinking, I'm like, he's going to come out in something. He did it last year.
Yep.
And he comes running out with that metallic blue. And I was like, plus, guys, that color combination, like, if that could be a thing, fellas,
dude,
the blue metallic with the red jersey, the white pants, and the red socks, dude, come on.
Yeah, yeah. I want that screen, too.
That's what I was going to say. So it's not just the color combo and the blue metallic, which obviously looks amazing, and I wish we had had that sooner, but with the visor, it gives us intimidation factor.
Right.
It's like some RoboCop shit. I love it.
Yep. Dude, I wish he would be able to wear a visor during a game.
I do, too.
It's just they don't allow it.
Right.
But I had the word. I was trying to find the words to describe what he looks like, you know, when you're really looking at him. And the only thing that I could come up with was some sort of type of, and it may sound stupid, but like I'm a little kid or something, but he just looks like some sort of superhero to me, man.
Yeah.
Like for real. He just,
yeah, absolutely.
There's just something about him. The sleeves, you know,
it's Captain America's just, shield, man.
Like when I play it's Madden like, and I try to absolutely. Build a player on Madden, like I try to make him look as cool as possible. And like that's to me, like how he looks.
Yep. Yep.
Just all
absolutely.
And it's just, it really just gets me like, man, you know, what the visor has always been a thing for me. You know, a visor's always really kind of brought out this thing in a player where it's like, it's different, you know, like
yep.
you can't see the guy's eyes and it just makes him look more, you know what I mean? Like,
it's, yeah, it's funny. Go ahead, Jason.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, I always thought when you see the guys who play poker and they wear sunglasses, they always look like morons.
Yeah.
But like that's the complete opposite on a football field. When you
right.
have that visor on, it just gives you that like...
He's like badass.
It's like a prestigious, like, powerful look.
Yeah.
Jim McMahon had that blacked out visor.
Then they were able to wear them back then.
Right, during the game. And it's
yep.
just like you said, it's like a freaking secret government thing or something, like, you
yeah,
know,
even like, when I was a kid, I always thought it looked super cool.
You couldn't see his eyes, dude. You couldn't, like,
yeah.
they say a defensive back will keep an eye on the quarterback's eyes to see where he's going. Well, with that visor, you can't see shit.
You can't
yep.
see nothing. And I love the visors that show the Buffalo Bill, the
yeah.
you know, the logo in it.
Right.
If they could wear those, oh, man, that would be sick.
Well, the crazy part is, to me, it's like comic books and Marvel superheroes. One of the coolest things about the movies is if you look at some of the outfits Spider-Man wears, like, you can't do that in a comic book. It's just watercolor. Like, that's all you get. But
right.
when Iron Man in a movie comes out with this wild, crazy, you know, suit of armor, or like I said, Spider-Man, some of his costumes, Black Panther. You could never do that in a comic book. And it just right. it just made the movies that much better.
Because
yeah. they yep. would just burst off the screen.
Yeah.
Like, it was fantastic. You and know? It's awesome.
The Bills colors are, like, with the color combination, fellas, it's, you know, it's kind of patriotic in a
absolutely.
Way. Because it's, you know, our country. But the way that we can scheme up, if the NFL let us, the way we could scheme up combinations of uniforms,
yep.
you know, like college football has been doing it for years.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
you know, the Oregon Ducks is the biggest one that people can think of because Nike grabbed a hold of them.
Right.
And they're like, let's go to work. And they had the coolest freaking uniforms.
Yep.
Like, why, you know, the NFL went to Nike. They got Nike jerseys, but the NFL must be so old school. Maybe it's the owners, because a lot of the owners are still old school or something.
Just they old. Just, I don't even think they're old school. They're well, just fucking well,
they
old.
Just won't do it.
I would imagine that part of it is that you have a lot of teams, and you get to a point where there's only so many color combos you can do before you start changing things, where it can kind of muddy the waters a little bit.
Right.
Not to mention that you're carrying, for most teams, 2 to 3 colors. There's only so much you can do with that when you're swapping them around and shit. So unless you change the color, which I don't think many teams would ever do. I really don't. Like,
right.
It's probably once every 20 years a team would change their colors.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's something about the, like, you know, it's tradition, it's, you know, yep. iconic look, it's being able to pop on the TV screen against another team's colors. Like, well, I think there's a lot that goes into it where they're afraid to make changes.
The choices they make are just the strangest fucking shit.
Right.
Right? Like, do you remember the Bills played the Jets, and the Bills are in their solid red, and the Jets are in their solid green?
Right.
It looked horrible. Like,
it not only looked horrible, but some people couldn't tell the difference on, like,
colorblind.
On a black and white screen.
Yeah, my dad was one of them. He couldn't
tell.
Yeah,
you're colorblind.
He's
like,
red and,
they're all the same color.
Yeah,
red and green colorblind is it's the most common one.
So they all look the same to him. But it's, yeah, it was like, what was it called? They call them the color splash games or something
like
that.
Yeah, something like that. But it was like it's the worst dumb. Fucking thing you could ever do.
Well, it's just, that's the one thing the NFL cannot get right is letting these teams be creative and come up with super cool uniforms.
Well, it's a new era. Like, it literally is a new age. Like, you know, technology has taken us to a whole new place, man.
Yeah.
And it's like I said, I don't know if it's like the Robert Krafts and Jerry Jones of the world.
It's got to be.
Or what, that just fucking won't let these people be where we are as a society.
It's got to be, dude. Because think of the NFL is all about just crazy making money. Like, think of if all the different alternate jerseys and stuff that would come out. Think about the sales that you would get. From NFL fans.
Well, how about
you know?
Do you think there's a fear of maybe like diluting the brand a little bit that way? Like if people are just changing their jerseys every year, like in a significant way, that you kind of
lose
brand identity over time.
Well, that's where I think the old school part of the tradition, like you said, Jay, comes into play with the NFL.
But they can control that, right? Like, I mean, you could control that and say that.
I think they are, right?
I'm just saying a little less control. Like with the penalty thing, you know, the taunting and the excessive celebration and shit like that. It just seems like they're sometimes fighting on the wrong side of public opinion. I think people like having fun.
Well, and
people say the NFL, it's a no fun league. You can't celebrate. Like,
That part obviously is very true.
Right.
It's just a question of why. But you can see it in like the mini helmets, right? Because mini helmets, they come in all sorts of fucking colors. You can find black and red mini helmets for the Bills.
Coolest combinations in mini helmets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can see what that future would look like. And it's not scary or bad. Like, it just, I think the problem is when you start doing that shit and then, you know, somebody else does that too. Like, what's the difference between those teams now? I don't know.
Right.
I have an opportunity to dump on the NFL, because occasionally I do like to do that because I don't agree with everything they do. They came out with their top 100 list, right?
Yeah.
And every, I don't know, a few days or whatever, it's like, oh, here's the next set of names. So you click on it. I'm like subscribed to the NFL.com website, but it's free. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No big deal. So I click on it, I go there, and they try to sell me NFL Plus or something like that. I can't even view the top 10 when it's released because I don't want to pay them the extra $10 a month or whatever it is, $40 a year. I don't even remember, whatever it costs. It's like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, the richest sports brand in the fucking world. And just to look at their top 10, the day it comes out. Now, the following day, maybe even later that day, everybody's got it everywhere. You can find it anywhere. You know what I mean? It's kind of like Disney when they release a movie in a theater and it takes a while before it gets to their streaming service that you're already paying for anyway. You know what I mean? Like, so you're already making this major investment into a multi-billion dollar corporation.
Right.
And it's like, you know what? We might be able to squeeze another 10 bucks a month out of these fucking people.
And you can see that happening too in that kind of example. Like, I remember it was recently, there was something like either the Spider-Man movie or one of them. It was like people who watch it on DirecTV were going to get it first, like before anyone else could get it at home.
Right.
And it's like, that kind of shit sucks.
Right.
Like, I've always hated it as someone who plays video games with, like, you know, console exclusives and, like, you know, it's one thing if, like, you can only get that game on Xbox. I understand that.
Yeah.
But then you have, like, Mortal Kombat and the characters are different on each console. It's like, oh, you wanted to play Spider-Man. Well, you don't get to fucking play Spider-Man.
You got the wrong console.
Yeah, you got the wrong console. Like, that kind of shit just drives
you
nuts.
It's just weird. It's just, like,
it's stupid.
Like, you're gatekeeping part of the experience of something away from people for arbitrary reasons or just for greed, and that sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely shit on the NFL for that. Again, the uniform thing just is the dumbest thing in the world, man.
Dumb.
Because again, like the mini helmet thing, like I have a mini helmet that is signed by Kyle Williams. By the way, it's a black matte finish. So, which I love the matte looking helmets. By the way,
right?
A lot of college teams are doing that now, but it's black matte and it has the standing buffalo, but in Zuba, right?
Oh, that's cool.
Like, I mean, just think of the coolest shit you could come up with.
Right.
You know?
Yep. Well, we had a conversation about the internet, love it or hate it.
Yeah.
It's the fucking most creative place in the world. Like,
yeah, the internet,
the things that people think of and share for free across the internet is fantastic.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And it's like the anti what we're talking about. It's like you can go to the internet, hopefully for free for most people other than your service, obviously you pay for.
Yeah.
But nothing on top of that unless you want to.
Right.
So, but you can go to like YouTube or you can go to Facebook or whatever and people share their creativity because it's hilarious, man.
It's the best.
It's
dude.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And it's I find myself all the time going, oh man, why didn't I think of that?
Yeah, I know.
It makes so much sense.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. Why didn't I think of that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I mean, good for them.
Agree.
I hope they make $1 million because of that, because it's their creativity. But
yeah, well, the NFL probably thinks that they're going to sell merch no matter what. Like,
well,
it doesn't matter what
true,
fuck they
dude.
Release.
It really is true.
It's like, whatever, dude.
It's just like everything else. Like, we enable them because we love their sport.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well,
and we don't want it to go away.
So, like, the breast cancer awareness stuff, right? Like, we've talked about that on here before, I think, a little bit, that, like, it's so insane how much they partner with the NFL.
Right.
And how much money is thrown around and how little of that actually goes to charity.
Yeah.
Like, it's like the one time they do something colorful and fun, and it's kind of, like, supposed to be for a good reason, and then they just fuck it up all anyway. So, like,
right.
I feel like even if they did do that with the different jerseys, they'd somehow fuck it up for everybody.
Probably.
Well, it seems like it's a rough time. We're just coming out of COVID. Like, there's wars across the planet. Climate change. We got so much going on that it just feels a little weird that if we have an opportunity to sneak a couple of pennies out of somebody's pocket, let's take it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That part certainly has exploded since COVID.
Yeah, yeah.
It's almost like the fear of the world ending made people greedier or something.
Right. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's going to have to rebuild our ivory tower or whatever. But
yeah.
There's
just
a lot of weird. And speaking of weird, can I vent for a second here on the NFL top 100 list for just a minute, dude?
Dude, do it.
It's just, it's shit because when you get Josh Allen and you put him at number 8, right?
Right.
And, okay, I get it. Like, last year he struggled a little bit. He had 14.
Injuries.
He had 14 picks if you want to, you know, nitpick on that. But the thing that really gets me is when you take a quarterback and Jalen Hurts, and I'm not shitting on Jalen Hurts. Because
no, he's a good quarterback.
He's a good quarterback. I have nothing against the guy, but he's only had one legit good season in this league, and granted he was runner-up for MVP and he went to a Super Bowl,
right?
he had okay numbers. He had, I think, 3,700 yards passing, something like that, 36.
Yep.
But when he doesn't make the list at all last year.
Right.
At all.
And gets
number three.
Yep.
This year.
Yep.
Is a little biased to me.
Is it like based on last year or projections?
Well, this is voted on by the players.
By, yep.
And it's based on, I think, last year.
So right? It's 2023's list, but they vote on what the players did in the previous season.
Right. Interesting.
Yeah. So
it is weird. I mean,
so I get
there's
it.
No doubt.
I get he had a great season. Fine. Like that's he did, but like does he deserve top three?
Well, in the gap.
Over Josh?
And Trevor Lawrence, who had a kind of a similar season, but a pretty decent season himself. They lost to Kansas City in the playoffs in a divisional round, the way the Bills lost to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
So pretty good for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Right.
He's number 96.
Yeah.
Well, like, is it really that much of a disparity? Are you saying that freaking Jalen Hurts is that much better than Trevor Lawrence?
You're just
Lawrence?
Talking about a popularity contest at that point.
That's exactly well,
that's where it starts.
And then it's like, why is that in our sports?
Yeah, right. That's where it starts coming down to it, because like you have the players voting on other players and they're like, you know, these are the guys that we think are boom, 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 you know. And the thing is Josh was 14 or 13 last year, goes to 8. In 2020, when he had his like breakout season, Jay, he was second in MVP voting. He was number 10. Boom.
Right.
But Tom Brady finished before him. Aaron Rodgers and Mahomes finished before him that year.
Which back then, I think that would be fair, right? Like, yeah. I mean, it's like, okay. Yeah.
Well, Aaron Rodgers was MVP.
Yeah, so now
but
now
he
you
wasn't
have
even
more
the first quarterback. He was behind Patrick
Yeah, Tom
Mahomes,
Brady won right. the Super Bowl that year against Pat Mahomes.
And so, Pat Mahomes still came first?
Yes.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, it definitely sounds like a popularity contest.
To a certain extent. I think that's mixed in.
But it's just like, I mean, okay, like, again, I get Jalen Hurts had a good year, but I just don't understand, like, as a player in the NFL, how are you taking that guy and plopping him at number three for one really good season? He hasn't, you know, Josh has been in this league since 2018. He's had four pretty darn good seasons, dude.
Right.
You know,
we talked about Von Miller, like, wasn't even in the top 100. And granted, he got injured last year, but when he played in, I think, the 11 games or whatever he played,
yeah,
he had like 8 sacks.
Right.
Well, if you're really good.
If you want to make an argument for that one being fair, I would probably say, okay, like, you know, if there's not enough data on him to make a fair judgment, then just get him out of the top 100 so it's not, you know, messed up or whatever. But like, yeah, for Josh, he got injured, had a lot of shit going against him, and he still won 13 games.
Right. Yep.
Come on.
Yeah. He had over 4,000 yards passing, 37 touchdowns, I think it was. Yeah,
well, we talked about like, over just, the last 3 years, nobody like, scored more touchdowns than Josh Allen.
Right.
Yeah.
For the if you take the last 3 years, and he's still, I think.
You're talking about year average or year to year, like measuring
no, all
each
three
individual
years.
Year?
If the total of all 3 years, total touchdowns over the course of the last 3 years. Nobody has scored more touchdowns than Josh Allen. And people complain. They're like, oh, well, the Bills, they got to figure out a way to get other people involved because Josh Allen can't carry this team forever. And it's like, yeah, that kind of makes him a really good quarterback.
That's what great quarterbacks do. They carry.
Right.
They basically carry these teams when you need someone to step up when you have depleted talent or guys
injuries
aren't playing their best
or whatever
it is,
yeah.
Dude. I mean,
a bad offensive line.
Josh Allen, in his first 5 years, Jason, he is the number two quarterback of all time in his first 5 years with the most passing touchdowns, just passing.
Right.
Tied with Peyton Manning at 138 passing touchdowns.
Yep.
You know, so it's just like
I remember us talking about that a couple years
in
ago.
His
that
first
it'd
five
be interesting
seasons,
if that could happen.
He has the most total touchdowns,
and he constantly
in a
getting,
player's first 5 seasons.
You got these ever. Guys, these guys out there like Nick Wright and shit, just constantly shitting on him, being like,
right.
You know, well, you know, he didn't put Josh Allen in his top 10 players. You
well,
know?
Like so I like, said,
what are you talking about?
Nobody
dude?
Enjoys like, looking like an asshole more than Nick Wright. Like I just loved when it was all about how great Baker Mayfield was. And how shit Josh Allen was.
It's anybody but Josh at the, you know what I mean? Yeah, like,
it's always that way.
He chomps at the bit.
He did his top 10 and Trevor Lawrence made it and Josh Allen didn't.
Yeah. He just chomps at the bit to make sure.
You're a fucking idiot.
Yeah. To make sure that he just, did Josh Allen, whatever. Josh does anything not right. You know, Nick writes fucking all over him.
Yep.
It's like, holy cow. You know, but I mean, it is what it is, dude. You know,
it is. And it's going to show up. There's no way, in my opinion, you can keep this team out of a Super Bowl forever.
Right.
Like, the tide's going to turn. Just the luck alone. Like, last year, the DeMar Hamlin thing just took apart the end of the season. But even before that, we get the shooting in May. We get, like, snowstorms when they can't get back home. Like, we have to move games. Like, it's just...
Well...
A bad break after bad break after Trey White finally comes back and he's not 100%, and boom, there goes Von Miller.
Our entire defensive backfield from day one, or, well, I should say game one, was never healthy all year long.
Micah Hyde
nobody
played two games.
We didn't have any – our entire defensive backfield. You're talking Trey, if you wanted to say Kerry Elam or Dane Jackson.
Yep.
Then Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer. All four of them never played – all in unison together all last season.
Right. Not one time.
You know what I mean? So,
well, we played a game. We're trying to name three defensive notable players on the Bills team that did not get injured last year. And I know we came up with two. I think we finally did get three.
That's hard.
But
it was.
I'm talking about, like, out of like 14 or 15 players, just a few that didn't miss at least one game.
Right. And I mean, everybody got hurt.
Gabe Davis, man.
Yeah.
He got hurt before the second game of the season, missed that game, and for the next six games, his catch rate was like 42%.
Yeah.
All games beyond
that
were
like 62% off of his normal percentage.
Yeah, he has struggled with that. No, but it's true. He has struggled with that, but again, hopefully that he's going to work out and he'll be doing better this year. Like, I have tremendous hope for the squad going into this season. Like, and again, I'm sometimes a little biased, there's no doubt, but I just look at it on paper, they just seem to have so much talent and depth.
Yeah.
You know, I think our running back room is better than it's ever been before. And I love Devin Singletary, dude. Yeah. I loved him. I think James Cook has more explosion and I think an opportunity to be a better back. And now you got Damian Harris, already a veteran starter. Even Murray, a veteran starter.
Latavius Murray.
Yeah, Latavius Murray.
Josh Allen mic'd up for the red and blue practice. Yeah. Goes up to Latavius Murray. Hey, how old are you, bro? And Latavius Murray, 33. Josh Allen, damn.
That's a lot of fun. If anybody's listening to this and they haven't seen that, Josh Allen mic'd up for that game was very fun.
He needs
such
to be
a good dude.
You have to mic up Josh Allen.
Oh yeah,
he is the one of the most entertaining, not only Buffalo Bills but I think just players in the NFL when he's mic'd up. That guy,
right?
Well, he just keeps chirping about Addy and everything.
Yeah, I think he knows that that's his job. Like, it's a hype game, right? So you want to get fans excited. You want to have a good time. Like, I think he definitely hammed it up a little bit
and the way he called out the coach, he actually called out Sean McDermott because it's 5:30.
Yeah.
The practice is supposed to start, and the coach ain't there. And he's like, hey, what time's our 5:30 practice start?
Yeah.
Does anybody know? Mm-hmm. Is everybody here? Are we missing anybody? Is there somebody missing, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, here comes Sean McDermott, like, trotting across the field, and Josh Allen's like, hey, coach, way to go. And they're clapping.
He's
and
clapping,
shit.
Yeah.
It was fucking hilarious,
it's just,
man.
He just comes up with the most random stuff. He goes up to Osiris Torrance standing on the sideline. He goes up to him, and he goes, hey, man, you still got that rash? And Osiris Torrance is like, chill, bro, I ain't got no rash. Like, what are you talking about, man? Just he's something else, dude.
It's easy to like these guys, and I do hope they have a lot of success this year. I think they will.
Yeah.
I really think they're being underbilled, but we'll see.
The Bills didn't do anything to get worse. Let's be honest. No. They didn't do anything to get worse. And if you wanna go ahead and pull the Trey Edmonds card, you can.
Here's the thing about that.
But I don't think that's a big enough card to pull to say we got worse.
As people who listen to this podcast will have heard us say that, and we have trouble putting a finger on it every time, But I was thinking about this just yesterday, the day before. The issue with Trey Edmonds, we've always said, is the splash play.
Yeah.
Right? The big play. The game-changing play.
Yeah.
Was never there. Not ever. Matt Milano, interception, pick six, whatever.
Right.
Like, at least maybe 3-4 times a year, he's making that big play. That big hit in the backfield.
Right.
Whatever. Right. Trey Edmonds was rock solid as a tackling machine.
Yeah.
He had 100 tackles every season. But it was never that big play.
Well, and not everyone has to do that, though. I mean, I get what you're saying, but like...
Well, but that's where you really get recognized. Like,
well, yeah, and that's fine. I mean, it's not about recognition, though. It's about contribution.
Well, yeah, and that's the problem. I've always said it. Like, he makes a lot of tackles. Most of them are not on the line or behind the line. They're 3, 4, 5 yards down the field.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, again, he had his best season his last season here. But other people have done that. You know, Jordan Phillips comes to mind, right?
Yeah.
9.5 sacks the last season he played with the Bills before he came back.
Right.
Signs a $10-11 million a year contract with Miami, was it, or somebody?
Phillips actually signed, I think 13 million dollar contract.
Oh, okay.
With the Arizona Cardinals.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But yeah,
I mean, he never was able to accomplish much after that until he came back to Buffalo. The system fit him.
Like, that's the thing, is the system, like, you know, our offense is going to continue. I think it didn't get worse.
No.
At all. No.
Definitely did not.
If you look at what our offense was the past, you know, 2-3 years, we're going to stay right in that zone. The defense has always been very consistent, top 10 defense. I don't see that changing as well. You know, this team's going to be good. They're going to – when you take the Jets, you take Miami, they've made improvements. They brought in Aaron Rodgers. We know, you know, what Miami has done. But the Bills, until they've done something to worsen their roster,
right?
You know, I'm not going to sit here and say that it's going to be someone else's division. You know, it's just
right.
It's just not yet.
Yep.
You know, but speaking of that anyway, I wanted to get into my portion of your question for you.
Oh, yeah. Last week we did the players on the defense.
Yeah.
That's right.
So I got off
turn this week, bro.
Yeah. So
better be good.
I'll do my best. All right. So I'll throw out the first guy. Now, this guy is going to be Gabe Davis. Okay, how are you feeling about him this year as far as, you know, last year and then the year before, where you see his trend going?
Well, now that we've had a little bit more of the preseason, like, I was a little undecided because there was issues last year.
Yeah,
you know, and I think people sometimes forget, like, Crowder started out being a thing. He got injured, missed the whole rest of the season. Like, Kumerow got hurt. Like, we had issues in the receiving room last year. Before the playoffs began last year, we brought John Brown and Cole Beasley back.
Which, like, is not a good look.
Yeah.
In the moment, it was better than the shit we had, and everyone was really excited about it. But when you look at it, you know, from a perspective of postseason, it's like, holy shit, we had to do something really stupid.
Right, right. And by the way, Cole Beasley, I believe, was going to sign with the Giants. I don't know if he did.
He did, yep.
Yeah. So, yeah. So that just shows some real desperation. And part of it, like I mentioned, Gabe Davis got hurt in practice. He missed the Titans game week 2 and then, you know, struggled pretty much the rest of the season. But at least early on after the injury, they said the ankle was kind of nagging him all year. So... that was after this was going to be his breakout season, because he had the 200 yards and 4 touchdowns in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That one playoff game. So I personally think he is now going to be a rock solid number 2. Like Steph said that he would be, if he wasn't here, he would be the Bills' number 1.
Right.
And he could do it. He could take on that role.
Yeah.
So to me, that's pretty good coming from, you know, another player on your team.
Absolutely.
So I have been considering, from what I understand, his draft position in fantasy is still pretty low.
Right.
I think I would take a stab. I think Sherfield and Hardy are going to be probably will be the slot guy. Mm-hmm. So he'll be lining up with Diggs and Gabe Davis. And I think Sherfield's going to be that mix-in guy, possibly at every position. But he's also very talented. I just think that it's going to be in that order, Gabe Davis, Diggs one, Davis two. I just think it's going to be there.
Absolutely.
And I'm anticipating him, probably – getting between 800 and 1,000 yards. He could be a 1,000-yard receiver, man.
That would be huge. That would be
half a dozen touchdowns to seven, somewhere in there.
Yeah, that would be big.
Yeah, I could easily see that happening. I love the reports coming out of practice and shit like that. Like, he's healthy. He's 100% right now. So
yeah,
I hope that lasts because, I expect big things.
If you could get 2,000-yard receivers, that has got to be the first time since Moulds and Peerless Price, right? Yeah,
for sure.
It's got to be.
That's the last time I remember.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't had two wide receivers at that level,
not at the same time. Yeah. Because you had Lee Evans and we just missed him and Stevie being a combo.
Right.
Stevie was a 1,000-yard guy. Lee Evans was himself. But yeah, it's just we never had that combo yet. So. Yep.
What did Beasley get in like 2020, 2021?
He was 870 maybe.
It's not bad.
It was his career high.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had a really good season. And that's something that somebody else pointed out too, by the way, is that if Dalton Kincaid and Dante Hardy or whomever kind of revive the slot position.
Right.
Like, we haven't really had a quality slot receiver in a long time. And a lot of people think Dalton Kincaid can play that part.
Yeah.
The guy can catch a football.
Absolutely.
And literally anywhere in the middle of the field.
Great route runner.
Yeah. So,
far, he looks like it.
So if those two guys can revive that, it's just going to open up more on the outside for Gabe Davis. And
Yeah.
And Gabe Davis can catch the ball down the field, man.
Yeah.
He's a big target for Josh, 20, 30 yards down the field.
Yeah.
He showed it
last year. I'm going to throw a little loop-de-loop for you. So, Ken Dorsey.
Yeah.
Where do you see him going as a play caller this year? And do you think he's going to improve tremendously from last year?
Absolutely. I think he said that. I think he said, I've learned a lot, I've seen a lot. I've learned a lot. I can see where we could do better. There were some things we did that were really, really good. And there were some things that we did that were really, really bad. And I can see some things that I could have done better and will do better. And I think just having – and Dawson Knox is fantastic, dude. I mean, there's no doubt. He's a top 12 tight end in the NFL. I really believe that.
Yeah.
But then you throw a weapon like Dalton Kincaid next to him.
Right.
Even as a rookie, I think Ken Dorsey will have more weapons at his disposal this year than he even sniffed last year.
So do you think he's going to, with the weapons that we have obtained this year, Kincaid, James Cook, second year, he's going to be a much better, weapon. You got Sherfield, you got Deontay Hardy. Do you think that Ken Dorsey, with all these weapons, do you think he's going to be able to create a lot more mismatches with this offense this year?
There's no doubt about it. Like I said, the reports out of Miami with Sherfield right out of the gate was the dude's an exceptional talent. Like, he's undervalued. He's better than anybody gives him credit for. And if you remember, Tyreek Hill's reaction to him leaving the team was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
How do you let that guy go? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So you think Dorsey's creativity with this offense this year could be more
expanded.
Expanded more similar to what Daboll brought.
Right. And I mean, like you said, James Cook wasn't completely trusted in the offense last year. But they obviously feel he is a number one running back. Like, Devin Singletary is, again, a very good running back. There's no doubt. He's not great, but he's very good. He's consistent. And I think James Cook just gives you more explosion. I think he's probably a better pass catcher. I think that's why we drafted him.
Yeah, 100%.
You know? But it had been beyond that. Like, last year it was Devin Singletary and James Cook, and they didn't have a lot of faith in James Cook at the time. Or didn't know the playbook, didn't trust him, whatever. He didn't get a lot of opportunity. Where this year, how do you not trust Latavius Murray or Damian Harris?
For sure, guys
that are rock-solid players in the league, who also, by the way, don't give up the football.
Right.
You know?
That's huge.
We all know Devin Singletary had an issue with hanging on to the ball. I think he had the second most fumbles in the time, whatever.
Right.
So I think that was probably part of the process, too, is we want guys that aren't going to easily give up the ball. And I'm not trying to pick on Devin Singletary. Like I said, I loved him as a player. I still do.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? He's an excellent running back. But I just think the running back room's better.
Yep.
I think the wide receiver room, I liked Isaiah I liked McKenzie, but I don't think he was ever going to be able to take that lead role. I think they tried to get him
right
in the slot.
He had too many problems with catching the ball.
Yep.
You know, like with being a consistent target with that too.
Right.
You know, so that was an issue.
About some of those interceptions, right? Did any of them have anything to do with the receiver turning the wrong way, reading the defense incorrectly?
That's huge, yeah.
Yeah, and if he did that, that definitely means we got to do something different.
Right, right. So basically your confidence in Dorsey going into year two as a play caller is very, very high.
Very high.
Good. That's what I like.
Because I think he has more weapons than he did last year by far.
The weapons thing, 100% agree with, and then also just learning from what you did from last year to this year, how you can, like you said, what you can improve on, what type of play calls worked, what ones didn't. Where can you use the mismatches? You know, how do you get certain guys involved in the offense? Now you got a guy like Kincaid where you can throw him into the slot. You know, they're running a lot of 12 personnel now, which is, you know, a big thing. The one thing I noticed in the red and blue practice is the offset, you know, line there. So what they would do is they would have like a big power to the left, meaning there's two tight end sets with the guy in motion. Like they're just doing all this different stuff. So I think there's a lot of good stuff there for sure.
Yeah.
So next question, I'm going to cut you off.
Okay.
Because I gotta keep you thinking.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So this one is going to be more of a combination of a unit. So offensive line, I'm not going with one guy. I'm going the whole unit this year. If you take your starting five, and we know who we talked about, who we think is going to be our five, where do you see the offensive line this year compared to last year? Is it better? Is it worse? The same? What are you thinking?
No, there's no way it could be worse. No, I think it will be better. I'm not saying it's going to be a top five unit, but I don't think we have to be. I just think we have to give Josh Allen the opportunity to find that receiver downfield when it comes to that. You know,
right.
I think they're going to be a much better run blocking squad than they ever were before.
Yeah.
Because they're going to have more beef up front. I do. Again, I'm saying like they probably moved up, say, 6-8 spots from wherever they were ranked last year.
So last year we were, out of 32, we were somewhere around like 18-ish.
Yeah, so I think we're going to
20 in that range.
If that's the case, we're going to move into the
top 15.
Top 15.
Yeah. Now, do you think with this squad, obviously you think that the running game is going to improve just with the better squad, the two guards we have now. Obviously,
yep.
We have two way better guards.
Right.
But we're still going to get blitzed. They're still going to want to try to pressure and test this line.
Right.
Do you see that being shored up better?
I'm not really sure. You know what I mean? Like, Deion Dawkins is a really good tackle, protects Josh's blind side. McGovern's a good guard.
Yep.
Mitch Morse has always been good.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little easier position, I think, at center.
Yep.
When it comes to pass protection, I don't think that's an issue.
Right.
And I don't know between – there's a consensus out there that says Ryan Bates probably has played himself out of a starting spot because of his versatility. Like, if you can get Osiris Torrence ready to play at the guard position, you free up Ryan Bates to play the rest of the line, you, right? Like, you, all over the place.
And you see Osiris Torrance probably taking that spot?
I don't know if it will be week one, but I really do think it probably won't be a long time into the season when he will take that spot.
Okay, because if you look at, you know, the offensive line, that depth chart we're going off of.
Oh, the one they just released, like the first depth chart?
Yeah, now you have David Edwards as the backup to Connor McGovern, but is that right guard spot? So right now they have Ryan Bates listed as the starting right guard, then Osiris Torrance as the backup.
Right.
Is David Edwards in the mix and that right guard spot at all?
I don't know.
That's because he had a lot of starts for the Rams.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep. I don't know. I don't know what the consensus is.
Right.
With the team and how they feel about that. And like I say, that's probably one of the good things that'll come out of the preseason game is they'll actually get to see our offensive line in a few different configurations.
Yeah, a bunch of combos.
In real, not play, but, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Simulated play enough to get a better evaluation of guys like that.
Well, yeah, it's not just a team-on-team scrimmage anymore.
Right. Yep. And it's funny because I've always said this too. You can't judge an individual player on the offensive or defensive line.
Right.
We talked about a couple of players earlier in that top 100 list, you know, and you've got a guy like Bosa in San Francisco that's playing on the number one defense in the NFL with like 16 or 16 and a half sacks. And then you've got Myles Garrett, who played on the 20th best defense with a couple of less. Like,
right.
So who's the better... Who's the better player?
Right.
The guy who played basically without a lot of help or the one who did? Like, I mean,
yeah.
So, and that's where I think offensive lines sometimes, even if it looks like the individual pieces are not all elite, they can look elite just because they're playing with guys that they can, you know, play with.
Yeah.
You know, they complement each other very well. And that's why I say I think Osiris Torrance will, if not immediately, very soon have that right guard position. And then it also frees up, like you said, David Edwards is Connor McGovern's backup. He could probably play either guard positions. He's got flexibility.
Yeah.
Bates has definitely got flexibility. He's even played center.
Yeah.
You know, 100%.
So right guard right now basically still seems like it's in a pure competition, right?
I'm thinking so.
Yeah.
I think, like I say, I've heard them talk about, I think maybe Sal Capaccio or somebody mentioning about the fact that Ryan Bates is so flexible may actually play him out of a starting role.
And it's weird because it sounds like that shouldn't, it's backwards.
A little bit, yeah.
But I understand the concept totally because you don't want a guy to start at right guard and just be that position if he has the flexibility to be able to move into other spots if a guy's down or whatever too. So yeah, I get the flexibility.
Yeah, you're in the third quarter and somebody on the offensive line goes down and it's like, well, Osiris Torrance has never played left guard before.
Right.
So now we got to shuffle our line, move players all over the line.
It makes sense.
For the rest of the game just to cover.
Yeah.
Or you go, Ryan Bates is coming off the bench. He's already been spelling guys during the game.
Right.
So he's into the game. And now, okay, boop, plug and play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, absolutely. Just plug and play.
Yep. Okay, so now I'm moving on. I'm going to a guy that is drafted this year. And we haven't really seen him play much. We just seen some highlights. We know his size, what he can possibly bring. But Justin Shorter is a very intriguing receiver on this roster right now. A guy that maybe, you know, maybe he doesn't really do anything this year, but maybe he could be a factor in some games. You know, we just don't know. But the ability that he possibly has seems pretty high.
Right. And, I love that. I love the fact that they got this guy.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, he's like a really fast, strong tight end. You know what I mean? And again, he's a big target, you know?
Yeah.
And he can catch the ball. So sometimes with the Bills, when it comes to especially late day picks in the draft, they're looking for guys like that, right? Like Matt Milano was that guy.
Yeah.
Fifth round pick. Isaiah Hodgins was
that guy too.
That guy too. He just, for whatever reason, he couldn't break into our roster.
Right.
He goes to the Giants and he's a starting wide receiver.
Yep.
You know,
a good one too.
Yeah, and a really good one. Yep. So, and I think Justin Shorter kind of fits that mold where potential is huge.
Can he find a spot to make a contribution on this team this year?
I don't think so. I mean, it's possible. Nothing is impossible. But I just don't. We already got too many return guys. We got special teamers. Like, that would be his best opportunity.
Yeah.
Again, because of his speed and size, he'd be awesome on special teams.
He makes this roster just he's going to be part of the 53, you think?
No, well, no, I don't think he will. Okay. I mean, I think it's possible. If he does, it'll be for special teams.
Okay.
Like, let's just say Matakavich can't get back, or we need that spot, and he can. I don't even know if he can play special teams, but right. If he can, he's one of those guys that, you know, he's a good hands guy. Like, he fits the mold of what you would like to see in a special teamer. Big, strong, fast.
Yeah.
Good hands. Like,
but are we going to run into the issue we did with Hodgins, though? Right.
That's
you know what I'm saying.
Right.
That's because we don't know if he can play special teams, and right. That was Hodgins' problem. Yep. Right.
And if he ends up on the practice squad, is there a shot he could get plucked? Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. And that's where it gets kind of right. Dicey.
Now the fact that he is a later day pick,
yeah,
gives him a shot to sit on the practice squad, work with the team, maybe crack into the lineup. If there's an injury or something like that down the road,
yeah,
you know, Sherfield goes down or something like that. Maybe he comes in,
yeah.
But he's gonna be on the roster bubble. Not, I think, for making the team,
right?
But I think his position on the team,
right? Because we're gonna keep six receivers typically on the roster,
right?
Correct.
Yeah.
So I mean, you're talking Steph Diggs, Gabe Davis, Sherfield, no particular order,
right?
Deontay Hardy. Got to think Clear Shakir.
Yep.
And then six is where I'm struggling because you got Justin Shorter, Keyshawn Johnson.
Yep.
Marcel Aitman. I mean, there's, you know, Desmond Patton, Tyrell Shavers. Like,
it might come down to,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, it might come down to Keyshawn Johnson and Shorter.
Right.
Like, it might be whoever kind of performs better.
Yeah.
In the preseason games.
And then it
maybe one of them can play special teams, one of them can't.
Yeah.
I'm pulling for Shorter, dude.
Well, I would love to see him.
Yeah. I'd love the idea of that big rock solid. Like, he's bulky, dude.
Oh,
He's strong.
He's,
you know,
big hands.
He's fast.
Yeah.
Big hands. He can, reliable catcher. Like,
I know people are saying, like, look at the way he runs the route. Does it look a little bit like Terrell Owens? And I know that's kind of like a, but it.
Well, we talked about that.
Yeah.
Like, the league in the large, oversized, you know, Megatron and guys like that, they're just so attractive,
right,
as a potential wide receiver. You just hate to turn away.
Well, we haven't, as a franchise, we've really never had that big,
not that
dominant
big.
Receiver.
Not it's like that.
Not like that. You know, like, if you look at, like, Eric Moles was probably the biggest receiver
physically
fast, great hands receiver that's been on this team ever. Like,
right.
We just never had like a big dominant receiver.
You got like Diggs at 6 foot and Davis at 6'2" or
right.
But none of them. What is he? 6'4"?
He's six. Yeah.
Like 6'4", 220 or 230. I mean, like, just a, like,
I don't know the weight, but yeah,
he's really close to a tight end.
Yeah.
He's just faster.
Yeah.
And he's a good route runner. So,
right.
Yeah. And I guess maybe part of it might be just how fast you can pick up the playbook. You know, there's a lot that goes into it. I think that might have been part of the issue with Shakir last year.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely was with Kyrie Elam.
Right.
They said that it was just not able to play all the different schemes that the defense throws out there. And it's complicated, man. And that is, I don't know if they're going to keep it that way, but they said that. Like,
yes.
It was one of the most complicated defenses in the NFL.
Absolutely.
And especially when you've got Poyer and Hyde just all over the place. They're not even lining up like safeties.
Right.
But they end up in the right spot every play.
Well, it's funny because you're talking about like our defense being a complicated type of defense. But at the same time, you get guys like, and it's not the first time I heard it, but Shane Ray, did an interview with Mandy Glab, I think, and he's like, I love this defense. It lets me be able to play free as a defensive end the way I want to play the game.
Right.
So there's...
Well, there might be...
There's simplicity to it also, but like... You're not wrong. There's definitely more involved with it too.
Yeah, so. I think it's positional complexity.
Right.
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 Like kind of on the offensive line, if you're a running back, for the most part, it's fairly basic. They're going to hand you the ball. You're going to run to an open spot. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no, I get it. Yeah.
But the offensive line is going to be a little more complicated.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. So,
all right. Well, I like
But I think
like
it's a
takes.
Great defense, man. I think they're going to be elite again, and I think the offense is going to put up a ton of points again.
Well, like we're just talking about, I mean the talent that's been added when you make the when you take the combination of the talent, another year with a great quarterback in Josh Allen, and then you got to figure Dorsey's going to trend up. You know, he's going to get better.
Sean McDermott knows defenses.
Yeah.
You know, everybody complained, oh, he's not an offensive coach. He's a defensive coach, and you got to have an offensive coach to win in the NFL. Well, they've had one of the best offenses for how many consecutive years now?
Well, that's the thing. Is if McDermott's a defensive mind, you got to think he's in these meetings thinking like, hey, this is probably the way an offense would attack this type of defense, right?
Yeah. By the way, I believe the last 3 years, the Bills have the highest scoring offense on a per game basis. In the NFL.
That's great.
I think they're neck and neck with Kansas City. I think Kansas City has more total points, but the Bills have more per game points because last year we played one less game.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, it's not like our offense has been middle of the road.
Right.
We've been near the top every year for the last 3-4 years.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Dude, good job on the takes today.
Thanks, man. Good picks. Good questions. Those are awesome.
I had to throw them at you rapid fire type.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, we were kind of going long
because if
again.
You didn't, you guys would talk forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. But no, absolutely. I mean, that's kind of where we wanted to go today with the podcast to just kind of touch on, you know, the preseason type of stuff, so to speak.
Yeah,
so,
we'll be able to talk about the preseason next week. Maybe get into it.
Yeah, we
more.
Got the Colts coming up on Saturday. It's kids' day game. So yep.
Only home game we get in the preseason.
Yes, yep. Yep. Then we got Pittsburgh and Chicago on the road. So
yep.
Cool. All right. Well, good podcast, fellas.
Yeah, man.
Jason, as always, tell them how to listen.
With your ears, idiot. No, so find us on social media on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at ETD Buffalo, and listen to us wherever you would like. We're hosted on Spotify Podcast, but you can listen to us on Apple or wherever you like to.
Nice.
Yep, and don't forget, check out Jason's business. You get a chance to. Everything Burns. It's a great name.
Yeah, feel free to contact me if you're looking for anything personalized to give to a loved one. Maybe you know, a nice set of coasters or a cutting board, things of those natures.
Everything's custom at this point.
Well, don't forget, football season is coming up, and if you're a Buffalo Bills lover, maybe Jason could create something for you.
Yeah,
oh,
no
I don't
doubt.
Think there'd be any problem with that.
You
yeah.
never know, you know?
And you know what? They could always call you for a barbecue sandwich, too.
Barbecue sandwich. Just the sandwich.
Yeah, just want one sandwich. Yeah,
I'd like to order one
I'd
sandwich.
I'd like a ham and cheese.
No, keep your eye open for Jake and the Fat Man, though. Yeah. He's got some trucks coming up.
We should.
Yeah, it was just today. It was somebody came in and they were like, "You're Jake from Jake and the Fat Man."
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Like starstruck.
That's funny.
You're that Jake.
That's good stuff.
It is.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it as always, and looking forward to the start of the preseason so we can get into the regular season.
Yeah,
so,
man, it's coming.
Yes, sir. All right, everybody, thanks again for listening, and just want to end it with, where else would you rather be than right here, right now? Go Bills!
Go Bills!